It's July 7th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 86 of Free to Play, NurtureBeer.com's Free to Play podcast. You can listen to this for free. Please send money to Mark Bradshaw to buy a new microphone. Speaking of, I have the pleasure of introducing Mark Bradshaw.
Hey, I'm here. I'm here to solve your problems. If you guys have any problems with your love life or animals that need to be killed or vengeance, I'm here.
As a white man, you're free to go to other countries and solve all their problems by absorbing their culture, literally.
I didn't want to bring it up, but specifically, Imran, if you do have any problems, I can solve it. Mainly,
and then he'll check out the beat while the DJ revolves it.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
That was good. So I appreciated that. Also, Imran Khan.
So I'm slowly taking over this podcast, the Jumpcast. It's going to be very gradual. You're not even going to notice when it happens, but you guys thought it was coincidence last week when Mike was here. We were talking about anime games. Nope. It is step one. One day this will just be like free to Jumpcast.
No, is that what's like an anime word for gentrification? Mangrove.
I'm going to say agu.
Weebification? Okay. Amoofication?
Ugh. All right. You gave away our special guest, sort of. Anyways, also joined by Dave Owen.
I strangled the frog from last week, so I think we're good this time.
Did you skin the frog and use its skin to make a wallet?
I didn't know. I made a flammable bladder pouch to carry around my fuel for my fire extinguisher. No, for my flamethrower.
It was as easy as holding F, wasn't it?
Those two things seemed different.
Or E, whatever your use key is. I don't know what your use key preference is, Dave.
It's weird. You'd think you'd use the frog to make a wallet or something, but I guess you... Yeah.
Also anime-related. It's slowly happening.
Frogs are anime-related?
Naruto uses a frog wallet.
He does. Oh. Oh, I thought he just summoned a giant frog. Damn it, I'm contributing.
Yep.
All right. Matt Pierce.
Hello. I'm here this week, shockingly.
Hooray.
Me too. Shockingly. Sort
Last
of.
Week was, when I'm in hosting duty, I just don't have any structure whatsoever. So we got off on a lot of weird tangents.
That's fine. I like weird tangents.
It should not be common. You know what I'm saying?
That's fine. And then our special guest tonight is Craig Jan from the Jumpcast.
Is it weird that I'm fanboying out a little bit right now?
Oh my God, it's Craig Jan from the Jumpcast.
Thanks for the invite. I'm probably just going to be sitting here in the corner not saying a whole lot because play some this weekend, things have been really busy, so I haven't had a whole lot of chance to play games lately.
You can still talk about games in the same way that Jason Brody can save... Anyways, let's move on. So actually, Greg Jan is, of course, one of the... whenever you hear us talking about Left 4 Dead on the podcast, he's one of the Left 4 Dead regulars slash probably main... I don't know, running man.
Organizer.
Thank you.
At this point,
I was going to say smut peddler.
Sure,
but that works too.
Well, yeah, basically,
close enough.
Yeah. Anyways, so we're gonna 3 weeks ago, Imran picked Far Cry 3 as his illiterate book club pick, and so we're just gonna go ahead and we're gonna talk about Far Cry 3, which is a game that we've been playing. Did anyone beat it?
No. I tried, but
it's,
I don't know.
No, I understand completely. I did beat it my first playthrough, however, I guess last year or 2 years ago, whenever year it was on my game of the year list, just briefly. I mean, it was...
Here's the deal with games like this. It's like, I legitimately have 40 hours into this game. I maybe am three missions into it because that's the way these games work. And this game specifically, because it doesn't gate you at all. You can just once you're out in the island, you just go out into the island and do as you please.
Yeah, so, exactly. It tells you, oh, hey, here's all the upgrades you can get. Let's run out and kill some goats. And then see what happens then.
Yeah. So let's use Dave's handy cheat sheet about Far Cry 3 over here to give a little rundown about Far Cry 3. It was developed by Ubisoft Montreal, released in 2012. I found time to play it between December 4th and December 31st for it to be in my 31st, whatever.
Yes. Words.
And anyways,
It was released like the same month as Assassin's Creed 3 or something like that. Something really close.
Yeah. And it was this I didn't know. This I never, I guess, looked up or really paid attention to, but it was written by Lucien Subban, who's written D&D novels and also wrote Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, which is probably the better setting for his writing.
Yeah. May I see the better game, but go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. No. I possibly agree with you. Yeah. He
apparently did a lot of dialogue and a lot of mission dialogue and stuff like that. A lot of heavy dialogue stuff from him, which I guess makes sense as a, you know, novel writer. They tend to write people talking a bit.
Yeah.
If he wrote Voss, then he did a good job there. If he wrote Jason, then he's in Monster and Jedi.
Yeah. So in Far Cry 3, you play Jason Brody. Just take a second and take that name in.
I can't take that name seriously because I hear Adrian Brody.
Yeah, when they said that his name was Adrian Brody, I was like, oh shit, you guys weren't joking.
And
Brody Quest should play during that game somewhere instead of Skrillex, play Brody Quest.
There's got to be a Let's Play of Far Cry 3 with Brody Quest just on, you know, 10-hour loop or however many hours it takes to beat this in the background.
Be fair, that name fits the character design.
It does.
It's a little on the nose, though.
The character looks straight up like James Franco.
He looks like stone James Franco. Like, he looks like James Franco from, God, what was that movie? Him and Seth Rogen?
Pineapple Express.
Yeah, he looks like the drug-dealing James Franco.
Yeah. So anyways, you play Jason Brody, who is just having a fun time on an island with his friends and drinking and skydiving and partying.
Fucking college douchebag. It deserved what happened to him, but go ahead.
And then you get kidnapped by Voss Montenegro.
I mean, first of all, let's go, that vacation that he apparently got for graduating or whatever with his friends, that's easily like a $10,000 vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely a rich, spoiled kid vacation. Right.
So, like, immediately I have no sympathy for anyone in this game. But yeah, I feel like Voss makes a pretty good point of, you guys have a ton of money, why can't it be mine?
You know what pissed me off? I'm sorry, go ahead, Brian.
No, I was going to say, I think I would have much rather played the Far Cry 3 where I get to play Voss.
Well, I would like to play the Far Cry 3 where I get to play his brother, who is, like, competent and, like, was in the army and probably a decent human being, rather than this shithead.
That would just be a five-minute game then, because you get shot in the head in the first 5 minutes.
Well, I'd shoot Brody instead of this guy.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I had the exact same thought in that opening sequence. That being said, whatever we might think of the actual, you know, characters and whatnot when they were doing on the vacation, the way that they staged that opening sequence was actually really well done.
It was very well done. I agree.
Amazing.
Though, now that I'm thinking about it, it's kind of funny this game and Assassin's Creed came out at the same time, because I'm pretty sure both of those started with a Lewis Carroll quote or some other game that winter did. It's like somebody at Ubisoft really fucking loves Lewis Carroll and demanded that every game start with some sort of Lewis Carroll quote.
Although I gotta say, when there's like a, was it Alice in Wonderland that they did this time?
Yeah.
It's like, no, sorry, I don't.
It like it comes
you're
up
trying
again,
too either. Hard to be like a high school literary scholar.
Like, right.
It's really ham-handed each time.
No, if this took the direction, like with all the loading screens that are like mother, fuck, milk, tit, breast, that flash up on the loading screen with the butterfly, like if the game took more of a direction of like Spec Ops, where there's actually some sort of purpose for this quote and all the kind of some of the crazy characters.
You go on these vision quests, but then they're like, I'm pretty sure they're straight up magic because they give you information you shouldn't possibly have.
Right, exactly.
So explain like the logistics of the like the skydiving trip and this island to me, because I'm under the impression this is the same island they were having their vacation on, but it seems difficult to pull off considering the entire crux of the game is that this island is a shithole. And you gotta get off of it. Why did they go to this island?
So I guess another island is.
I can actually, in my research, I discovered the exact way that they got on the island.
Okay.
There is a guy named Doug, who is a DJ, who tells them about this really bitchin' island where everything goes, and it's just fun times.
Fucking scheme.
And he works for Voss, and he tells them, you got to parachute in because no boats go there. Go there, just party your asses off for like a week straight, drugs and booze and everything. And he just essentially entraps them into going. Because I was saying the same thing to myself. How the hell did they get on this island? Why are they skydiving into the middle of nothing? Is this the island they started their vacation on? So I made it a point to figure out exactly how they got there. But now, this is the
I'm
catch.
Not crazy. They don't explain that to you, right?
Right. They do not explain it in the game. One of the other writers explained it later.
It's not in like any flavor text or anything. Well, actually, no. There's not a lot of flavor.
Like, the only collectibles I found that like gave you any information was like stuff about World War II and Japan. I was like, I don't know why I'm reading this right now.
There are like the character logs and bio information stuff.
Who writes that? Is that the CIA guy, right?
I don't know. I didn't even
know. That had to be in the CIA contact because it had that guy's same sense of humor.
Oh, right. That.
Yeah. Because he's basically like, talking about the physical characteristics of every woman in that game. It's like, this is sort of creepy. Is Jason writing this?
Well,
though
Jason's
a huge piece of shit. Like, I'm just going to throw that out there right now. I never got to the... I'll play more eventually, but I never got to the Citra sex scene. But Jason has a girlfriend in that game. And I don't care how quickly they break up or if they break up, but Jason's sort of an asshole in almost every way.
Well, wait a minute. The idea of like some DJ being in a scheme and telling people to skydive onto an island so those people can be stolen and then sold or, you know, ransomed out or whatever is a lot more believable than college student, mild-mannered Jason Brody becoming an unstoppable murder machine.
If you listen to a DJ about anything, then you deserve whatever you get.
Yeah. Again,
DJ Atomica here.
Go back to the brother. The brother should have known better than to allow his friends to fall into this trap. But apparently, like, watching his brother just act like a badass for 5 minutes is enough to like ingrain badassery into Jason's memory, because now he can do the exact same things his brother was doing.
Well, they explain
that
as
the tattoo.
Yeah, him being an athlete, and then he gets the tatao.
It's a magical tattoo, man.
The tatao.
Which somehow, like, just appears every time you go to the, like, skill screen.
Right, like, you could be swimming. You could be, like, on a jet ski in the middle of an ocean, and you're like, all right, I'm going to send the skill point, and then just, bam.
They explicitly go, only Citra can give you these tattoos. Yet, I got most of them before I ever met her.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, also, this other guy named Dennis, he's totally good at giving these tattoos. And also, sometimes they just appear, so...
Did I do the thing last week already where it's, you know, you have the right to kill me?
Yes.
But no. I already did that. Okay. I like Dennis.
He's very aloof.
Yeah.
He's a great character. This game is full of great characters, aside from yours.
Yeah. Everyone is better than Jason.
That's true.
Even, like, the rapist hitman Australian is better than Jason.
Is it just me, or would Jason have been better as a silent protagonist?
Much better.
Yeah.
Like, I showed you guys that picture earlier of Jason just making a joke, like, aha, this place smells like sulfur, or maybe I have BO. That was the moment I'm like, I really hate you, Jason Brody. Like, you are the kind of guy I would not want to actually hang around with.
Well, even the crazy doctor, the freaking Mad Hatter guy with the mushrooms and all the drugs, like you go up there and he's like, okay, he's, you know, got this girl in a room, and, like, it's sort of a deep thing where, like, he wants to make up for the fact that his daughter got killed, and... You know, it gets into that.
Yeah, I like that one scene where you go down and get cave mushrooms and come back up. You show him, like, four, and he just delicately picks one.
Yeah.
And looks confused at you, like, why did you get so many?
Yeah, he was a silly character. So how were you guys playing the game? Because on the first time I played through this, when it first came out, I took the stealthy approach.
Mm-hmm.
Which, once I got the bow and arrow, that's pretty much all I used. Certainly when I was stealthing around and taking out an outpost or something.
Well, I noticed, like, the gameplay wise, like, just using the bow and arrow, I like it, but it's, for me at least, it was, like, way too inaccurate to, like, use reliably. Like, I would try to, like set up the outposts, to just, like, take every guy out, like, silently and, like, take out the alarm boxes, but like invariably it take like five arrow shots to get one alarm box, and of course everyone would notice.
That was one of the things I loved about the bow and arrow, is that it was sort of a challenge to use if you're doing anything at range. So I kind of took it upon myself as to master archery. I became sort of the White Robin Hood. Wait,
see, I tried to master archery, then I got the skills that just master archery for you, basically.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, now you can see better, and also now all your arrows fly completely straight. It was like, all right, cool. Now I don't have to ever, like, really aim that hard.
Was there, I don't remember one that they just, like, would just go straight and wherever you're aiming.
I mean, it improves
exactly.
Stability.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Like, yeah, there like, was like, no,
like I was doing crazy long-range arrow snipes, just, like, from, you know, the top of a mountain to an outpost, like, 300 yards below me and stuff like that. So, it was a lot of fun.
I played stealthily at first, and that mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the game then. I was like, okay, this is, like, yeah. I'm a normal human doing a college-age stuff. Then once you get, like, enough upgrades and enough guns, it stops mattering. Like, at that point, you are just a one-man militia. You were the god of the island wandering around on your own cruise of death.
Cha-cha! I still played through the whole game stealthily. When there are times where you just don't have that option at all.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to flood enemies at you at times.
But there's like times where it just doesn't matter. Like, that's most of it. Like, you don't need to bother getting the alarm before the base, because what are they going to do? Send another couple of guys at you? I have 180 assault rifle bullets.
I did appreciate the times when I could, like, shoot, you know, with a silenced rifle or something, and bust open a bamboo cage holding an emu in it, and the emu would just maul, and, you know, or a tiger, you know.
The one time, like, I was actually, like, stealthing, I was casing a base, and I was looking, and, like, I started hearing all this snorting behind me. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. And a bunch of boars started coming after me, so I ran through the base, and everyone was like, what's that? And then the boar started attacking the base, and I just, like, stood back and watched and just looted bodies after it was done.
And that's really where I think Far Cry 3 shines, is in those moments kind of in between the missions. I mean, yeah, you've got the great writing and for some of the
characters. You've got the writing.
You've got the interesting island.
You've got the crazy characters, you know, but the fact that the protagonist, the character you were playing, is just an enormous douchebag. And
so for like 3 hours, that game just becomes Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Well, it becomes
that sort of just throws a wrench in the rest of it. So it is those moments between where I'm like just driving along, and all of a sudden there's just like a convoy of cars, and I'm like, shit, and I got to dive out of my car and I go hide, and then I try to take that convoy out.
See, that's the thing. Like, there was a point where, like, oh god, I got to dive off the side of the road because a car is coming, and I don't want to fight two guys. And it's like, oh, it's only two guys, and I'll just like aim down the sights and shoot the driver in the head, and then he'll die.
Well, usually if you just see, like, two guys, like, coming at you in a car, you just drive your Jeep directly into them, and they die.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're just – apparently seatbelts work for you but not for the other dudes. They're just completely boned.
Yeah. Well, you carry on.
But, the setups in this game, like, I think the game works in, like, the outpost settings where you're trying to set up like the perfect like outpost takeout.
Right. In case you don't know, there's a pretty huge world map, and enemies will be constantly patrolling in certain areas unless you take over an outpost, which is sort of a shitty fenced in with a couple of buildings and, like, you know, a dozen enemies, if even that much, for you to take out. And once you do that, the sort of the rakyat, your team on the island, who apparently are just useless until you got there. Mm-hmm. They come in and they sort of make that area safe.
And then they get super bitchy, like, oh, if you really want to help, you should do some of these quests. Like, really want to help? I just liberated this base for you guys.
It's kind of a gas station for you assholes. Like, see, I helped.
That's such a weird thing. Like, the player presence data, like what they say, the NPCs say to you after, like, in between gameplay and between cutscenes is different. Yeah. So, like, there'd be a cutscene where I'm talking to Lisa, and she's like, please don't go. You're going to die. It's really dangerous. And Jason's like, I have to go. And then immediately after that cutscene ends, she goes, don't you have something to do?
Yes, yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Well, and then there's, you know, it's like, hey, Jason, could you please kill a golden tiger for me, And it's like, okay, does that... All right, I'll kill a golden tiger for you. I mean,
apparently you're the best hunter that the world has ever seen, and every mythological animal lives on this island.
I think the big problem that happened to these poor guys was that they had it in their head that they have to kill their enemies using the ritual Riakat way of stabbing you in with a knife. And this is a big issue because other guys had machine guns and cocaine. And whenever you go on these missions to like kill like a leader, you have to do it with your knife because that's the honorable way to do things. So I can sit there and just like set fire to all of his lieutenants. I have to kill the boss with a knife because that's honorable.
Well, in fairness, like it's not like the drug dealers are really that smart because like you actually just sit down and watch them. Like it's just, oh, we'll march these hostages around in a circle for 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, why are you doing that? What's the point? Like I to get arrowed, I guess.
Because
like,
they're on cocaine.
Yeah, pretty much. Or like let's park by this beach where the Komodo dragons hang out. Like no, well, that's a terrible idea.
Well, hanging out in any part of this island is terrible because either a Komodo dragon's going to kill you, or wolves, or fucking caraway. The life expectancy in this... The life expectancy of this island is like 5 minutes because something will kill you.
I kill tigers, I don't even bother fucking with cassowaries because there's always like 20 of them.
Yeah.
I kill tigers. There is a ton of stuff to do on the island.
Well, okay, so that's...
I did that in my first playthrough.
And that's one of my problems with Far Cry 3, is that there's a ton of stuff to do, but everything is fun for the first two or three times.
Yeah.
And then less, like, by my, like, fourth, fifth, or sixth tower, I was like, I'm really tired of climbing up these things.
Yeah.
And that even extends to the little things, like the animations for skinning an animal.
Oh my god.
Like
looting a guy. Yeah, god, finding a prompt for looting a guy is the hardest thing in that game.
You had to be at a specific angle to the corpse, and it's a very small area.
So I found this out yesterday that 100% of the time this works, that if you get right on top of the guy and stare right at his butt or crotch, it will always give you the loot prompt.
Yep.
Every single time.
Literal, that's weird.
Yes. Booty looting.
Like I've switched out guns so many times just trying to loot a guy.
Well, that's just an open world jank. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
Well, you could change the buttons of like that. Yeah,
the hitbox.
Picking up
you
guns
like
and looting is not the same thing.
Yeah,
that was an issue. It's like there were so many buttons on here that are shared. It's like switching out guns and healing are shared, and it's the same button that puts out a fire. So if you're on fire and you're dying, you're pretty much boned because you're going to sit there switching out weapons first.
Also, while we're at it with controls, default for switching weapons, you know, next weapon, previous weapon, should always just be set to the mouse wheel. I have no idea why it wasn't done that by default.
It's switching grenades, which is, it's funny because it makes this like tink sound because you're switching the Molotovs and grenades. And right. You can apparently just do that during cutscenes. So like in the the weird amount of time they wrest control away from you to play a cutscene, I'm always just like scrolling down the mouse wheel. So it's like ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Just imagine he's in the background just like switching like a Molotov and a grenade, just juggling him.
Yeah. I mean, the open world stuff is good. It's fun this year. It's a mercenary modern day Skyrim to some extent.
It's more Assassin's Creed. It is that Ubisoft template.
AC games, so I can't speak to that.
I think it fits more like into like the Just Cause or Mercenaries type mold.
Yeah.
The only issue like that keeps it really in that same area is that the amount of chaos you can really pull off in this game is sort of limited. It's always like in that one little pocket where like the base or like where the guys might be hanging out. It never really follows you around.
Yeah, like in GTA or something. I mean the first time I played through the game, I didn't mind some of the stuff that is just fluff. Like it, and then when I went to play through it for IBC, I was just like, okay, I'm gonna do run and gun. I'm not gonna do stealth. I'm gonna just run and gun. I'm just gonna do the story missions, and God, I was just like, all right, well, I guess I need a bigger wallet. I need more. You know, ammo.
You definitely need
area.
More than one gun.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that I became really annoyed with like the 3 second animation of skinning a dog. You know, hold F to skin animal, or you know, that stuff. And then all the God, there's just an incessant amount of pop-ups. You know, it's just like, hey, you unlocked this, boom, 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 tink, 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 tink. And it just like fills the screen. It's like, you know, eight people loading up Left 4 Dead and Steam at the same time.
The one thing that really pissed me off is
all those off.
When like, I wanted to just get to crafting, but, oh, it's popping up this thing about this guy mm-hmm. you just met, or this gun you have.
So you gotta hit escape, like, 3 times.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, here's this stupid image of Voss and Jason, like, hanging out. Like, not hanging out, but, like, Voss behind him, and it's, like, this really clip art, low-res image.
His hair. It's really, really weird.
Now, one thing, like, I feel like we've spent, like, the past half hour, like, complaining about the game.
Super good game. It's just...
It's fucking dumb. It has these little elements that just, like, keep it from being, like, a really great game. It's, like, it's a game that I enjoy, like, spending, like, 2 hours with until something really dumb happens and breaks me out of it. Like,
that's the reason I didn't finish it, is, like, I will, like, I'll go, okay, I'm setting out to go do this. Like, I'm going to go hunt a taper so I can finish this wallet or whatever. And then it'll be like, oh, there's a fucking tiger here every single time. And I'll just get frustrated and quit for, like, 2 days.
Jason, I need you to make a medical run for me. Oh.
I never actually do their quests. Oh, like, I don't bother. Like, unless you can get me something, then I don't care what. Because at some point,
experience and money.
That's the thing. You don't actually get that much experience for it. Like,
well, you do experience after a while.
If you do just, like, main missions, you get way more experience than if you did, like, 7 hours of side missions, which it feels like it should be the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, the island is diverse. Like, there's a lot of neat locations. You know, you can do, like, the wingsuit, or not the wingsuit, the hang glider stuff. You can like, dive into a giant, you know, hole in the ground. Like, there's that, you know, one place in South America that people skydive or base jump into and stuff like that. And they did a good job of making the island diverse enough to... You know, for you to explore and, yeah, get to different places, hunt different animals.
Like a surprising amount of, like, platforming for a game of this type.
Yeah, and it's not that bad, too. Even to the point of detail of, like, when you jump into water while moving, you dive. Like, you actually carry your momentum through, which is great when you're, like, diving in to swim up and, you know, take a guy down from the, you know, a water takedown.
Some of those things, like, you know, you can slide down a mountain that's 50 feet tall and not get hurt, but if you take a 5-foot tumble... Then you're going to lose a bar of health.
Ankles, man. He has very weak ankles.
Except the only thing you ever see get hurt is Jason's arms because first-person shooter.
It would be great if he just, like, picked his leg up and, like, plucked a bullet out of the calf or something like that.
I mean, for as long as some of those animations
take... Every time he jumps down, he lands on his
hands. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from a gameplay standpoint, I really, really enjoy Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just between, like, you know, the stealth mechanics and even the gunplay and the aeroplay and the enemy AI and... kind of those random encounters. Now,
I think a good comparison to this is its follow-up, the standalone DLC, which was Blood Dragon.
Right.
I enjoy Blood Dragon a lot, even though, like, Blood Dragon is just, like, the dumbest, simplest thing in the world and doesn't have, like, basically any characters aside from you, your pal who dies in the first 5 minutes, and the bad guy. I enjoyed it a lot more than this game. I think because it avoids all the cruft that you were talking about, Brian.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a story fill for the gameplay, for the Far Cry 3 gameplay, which is good. I mean, it's not bad. It has some of that extra stuff.
I mean, that's one of the things that this might say about Blood Dragon compared to Far Cry 3 is that I would like some of that, like the scenes where you're talking to Voss, or Voss is talking to you, rather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, those are cool. Yeah. And, like, yeah. I wish Blood Dragon had its own version of that somewhere, but obviously that game didn't have the same budget that Far Cry 3 did.
Yeah, and the guy that did the voice acting, or the acting for Voss, won a couple of awards, right?
I think so. Like, though Voss is, like, he's a good villain, but he's also an idiot, because every single time he gets Jason in captivity, he doesn't actually just shoot him in the head.
Again, drugs. Everybody is on drugs. I like that you kill people on this island, loot their body, get, like, a cocaine pack, and take that back to the store and sell it back to the lady and get money.
Yeah, Jason's a piece of shit.
And there's also the weird relationship between Voss and Chitra.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you know what the definition of insanity is?
Apparently, I just did that scene. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I remember this from E3, and now, like, I feel like this scene only existed for that one E3 demo.
Yeah, I mean with all that setup and the characters and the trailers and stuff, they really set themselves up for what could have been some sort of great, like, you know, Eternal Darkness sort of game, you know, where, like, the Windows volume up noise just occurs in the middle of the game because you're going crazy. Maybe you're Voss. I don't know.
See, I don't like – I feel like they should just have just made it so everything backfires on Jason. Like, he is a – maybe I'm being spiteful, but
and he just dies in the end.
Yeah, just like everyone escapes without Jason. He's like, what the everyone's here. Just get on the fucking boat and leave.
Right.
And I don't know.
It was actually a whole big plan by Voss. He's like, look, you see Jason, you don't kill him, right? You just let him think he's the hero. And then at the end, he just pops Jason in the head and lets his friends go.
So from what I've heard, that spoiler territory, I guess, but the game just at some point just writes Voss out. And then it takes a huge downhill slide from there.
So I know when you were asking me where you were in the game last night, Imran.
Yeah.
And you were like, you're at Buck, you know.
Yeah, it was Tomb Raiding.
Yeah. And at some point you make your way to some other part of the island and you become a mercenary. A mercenary. Like, you become part of Voss's army or what's the guy's name? The main guy.
Hoyt.
The main bad guy.
Hoyt.
Yeah, you become part of Hoyt's army. And he sort of learns that. And so it becomes a little more shoot man's at that point because you're a mercenary.
Like, I just met the mercenary people.
That stuff. Yeah.
And, like, you can level up 10 times just sniping them in the head.
Right.
But it's, I don't, like, at this point, I feel like the game's story is slipping away rapidly.
So here's what you need to know. I think one of the last things you do is you rescue, I think it's your little brother, I think.
Riley,
who I guess had some sort of flight lessons. So there's a scene where Riley is flying a helicopter really badly and Flight of the Valkyries is playing and you're firing a minigun out of the side.
Every single rescue scene, like, you rescued Lisa in the car and Jason's like, "Quit, stop shaking the car, I'm trying to aim." Or, like, you rescue Keith in the boat, like, "Stop shaking the boat, I'm trying to aim." It's like, Jason's such a huge asshole to all these people who clearly went through, like, some traumatic shit.
Maybe it's your aim that sucks, dude.
that scene where you rescue Lisa and the boss tries to kill you the first time, like, he sets a small fire on the floor between you and Lisa. Then you fall through the floor, and then the entire house is on fire in, like, seconds.
Yeah, that scene was good.
It's like, what just happened here? Did Voss set the fire a long time ago? And like, all right, he's going to fall through the floor. It's going to be super cool. He's going to just lose all hope right there.
Yeah.
Though, like, the thing with Voss is, now I look at the Far Cry 4 trailers again, I'm thinking, they're just doing the same thing over again.
Right.
Yeah, maybe I'll fix it this time. Maybe they took the criticism into account this time, and they'll actually, like, go full balls to the wall with the...
We are talking about Ubisoft, right?
That's a good point.
They did say that they realized how problematic Far Cry 3 was from a race perspective, and they're trying to fix that with Far Cry 4.
Well, yeah, they're changing the tint of your arm.
Sexism perspective.
Yeah, they said something super weird, like, "We're packed to the gills with women."
Like, you can't be a playable woman. They're just packed to the gills with women.
My question is, like, are they packed to the gills? Do they have any binders full of women?
Or it's strictly an American thing. This is on Montreal.
There are plenty of women in Far Cry 3. They just don't do anything.
They sit in the cave and wait for Jason to stop being crazy.
Well, I mean, Chitra is, you know, she's the leader of the Rakyat. And she's this, you know, this evil mistress. And, well, I hate to use the word mistress because that lumps them into a certain category, I think. But
she's sexy.
Well, she is. She's a temptress. She does bang people. Well, but
that's... I mean, we've already seen her naked because that was part of Ubisoft's E3 presentation that year.
Right. Well, I think that's actually... I don't know if I would say a liberating aspect of her character, but as I dug into her backstory and found out more stuff about the game, she totally understands that sex is her best weapon, and she used it to get to the top of the Rakyat. You know, that's how she got to the position that she's in. It's how she manipulates Jason.
Right. It's how she manipulates Jason.
Totally in full, you know, she's fully informed of what men do and what they like and how stupid they are when it comes to sex, and she uses it as a tool.
And there's an ending you can get in Far Cry 3. And, I mean, you could just look them up. I think there might be only two. There's one where either you kill Chitra, or Chitra, pretty much while on top of you, just takes a knife and plunges it into your chest and kills you. Because you decide to... or maybe there might be more endings than that. I think you might be able to... I can't remember if you can decide to leave the island, but you can decide to stay on with Chitra.
Yeah, I think there's just two.
Yeah,
you save your friends or you stay with her. You kill your friends and stay with her. Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed that there was, like, spoiler, magic shit at all.
Magic shit and all, yeah.
Yeah, like, that game didn't really need,
like,
it.
Just let me summon a demon dog from my arm tattoo. Just put that in there. An evil Komodo dragon.
Oh god, come on. Like every like later in that game when you start getting into the Tomb Raider stuff and like since they can't throw guys at you, because like why would Voss's men be in like an ancient temple that no one has been in years? They just throw Komodo dragons at you. So I specifically didn't use my assault rifle the entire way to there, and then I was like, I just unloaded at all the Komodo dragons I saw.
Yeah,
because they're such a pain in the ass, and like one of them made it past because they didn't realize he wasn't dead.
So yeah. Quick question: did anybody happen to watch the Far Cry Experience?
The what now?
What?
The Far Cry Experience is Ubisoft and Machinima's live action prequel to Far Cry 3. And it
you're
features...
not talking about the movie directed by Uwe Boll, right?
I am not. I am talking about it features the actor who portrayed Voss in full Voss gear. And right. It also features as the protagonist McLovin.
Really?
Oh god.
Oh, I've heard about this. Maybe I need to watch that. I can
Yeah. It's like a 2 or 3 part series. It's actually well done. Machinima's gotten really good at making these sort of video game related short films. They did that to Forward Unto Dawn, and you know, so they're good at it. They're good at what they do, but
they have a fair amount of money.
Yeah,
to do
yeah.
things like that.
But I watched episode one, and I would say it's worth watching just as a curiosity.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, but it's funny because they did so much to promote this game that I in some ways I think flew under the radar like that, and also they apparently commissioned a Minecraft adventure map and texture pack
and recreated
the island in Far Cry, recreated the Rook Islands in Far Cry, in Minecraft.
Bonkers.
Yeah. That they don't even own or have a stake in Minecraft, and they actually made a mod for Minecraft to promote their game.
The way they've been promoting Far Cry 4 has actually been pretty smart. Like the cross-play thing, the you can share this game with friends thing. Like,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, they can get they let people on Twitch just play the game for a couple of hours and then like as a preview.
Yeah, I was of course one of the things I wanted from Far Cry 3 was a co-opable campaign, but the way it's set up is just these kind of individual missions that you can run through as a team. So I'm going to play Far Cry 4. I'm going to play it. I'm like at least the first time around, I'm going to go skin all the animals and build all the wallets and bandoliers. I'm happy that I'll be able to do that while co-oping with people, because that'll be rad. We can wingsuit dive off a thing.
So the issue I have with Far Cry 4 is I think it'll probably be a really good game, and like I'm more excited to play it after Far Cry 3. And like I admit I was wrong about the race stuff, that because apparently the character is actually brown,
right? Yeah,
but it still feels really weird to me. Like
it feels very similar.
Like,
which not, might be it, I don't know.
And it's not a matter of feeling similar or not, it's the racial component still feels really weird to me. Like, it's the only game I've ever seen that's ever been, like, in the subcontinent, and it's obviously you're shooting all those people. Right. It's like, well, I guess I didn't have a problem shooting, like, the Red Voss people, but now it's going to be, like, people who look like me, and that's going to be weird fundamental level to me.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I think, for the setting that they want for a Far Cry game, which is, you know, I don't know. I just...
Like remote, wild...
Right. I mean, Eastern Europe. I mean, if you're talking about just getting a bunch of white people to shoot, I don't know.
It's
country,
more than...
Russia. It's just, if I feel
you
like they...
Went to like Appalachia, backwater,
right.
West Virginia sort of thing.
Exactly. Right, the island of West Virginia in 2028.
Yeah,
West Virginia is an island.
It speaks of the industry that when I'm this is gonna sound so bad, when I'm killing white people, it feels like nothing. But when I'm killing people who look like me, it feels different.
No, you're right.
It happens so rarely, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
It's the same reason there weren't any other than Chitra, as far as I can remember, there weren't any sort of minion female mercenaries that you were killing. It's the same thing. I mean, if they were white, it would be, it's just sort of white noise. Almost exactly white noise.
Like Last of Us, they didn't put any female bandits in that game at all. Even though they had the models for it, they just didn't bother because they thought it would be weird for all of a sudden I forgot the main character's name, Joel. Like
right.
Joel's to be choking out a female character.
Right. It's okay to kill a dude, but it's a really sensitive area.
Is equality at this point that we just kill everybody?
Right.
It doesn't feel weird to kill anyone, I guess.
Okay, let's go to Uncharted. Were there any, like, women in Uncharted that you can think of that you would
not that
kill?
You kill.
Yeah. Like, dude, there are no minions. I mean,
the big bad of Uncharted 3 is a woman, but you don't actually fight her. She just sort of dies.
But that's basically it. I mean, it's hard to... It's not just a Far Cry thing. I think it's an industry thing.
Well, I don't know. Even we can look at another one that has racial problems, that being the Resident Evil series. But in Resident Evil 4, there's plenty of, you know, female, and yes, they're zombies, and they're not people.
That's true.
But at the time, you don't really know. And that, right from the beginning of Resident Evil 4, there's both genders coming at you.
Yeah. I mean, like I would, in Titanfall, you can... there are multiple races and sexes that are playable. I mean, and that's, you know, there are male robots. Yeah, I'm just kidding. You can play as a female character in that game. And you can shoot a female player in that character in that game. Black, white, whatever.
I'm trying to think, like, in a Deus Ex, Human Revolution. Like, were there female, like, mercenaries in that? I can't...
Yeah.
Nothing I can think of. Nothing you, like, choke out or kill.
Maybe it's a choking out thing that we're having an issue with. Maybe we just need to get rid of the gory, like, first-person melee kills, and we can get back to quality in video games.
Yeah. Press X to perform a double assassination.
I laughed when I got the chain takedown skill, and I pressed the escape for, like, the little video that pops up. It just shows Jason, like, stabbing through a line of people.
Yes, and it loops.
It's like, wow, this is... I don't think I'll ever be in this situation, and more to the point, like... How could the person further in the line not realize? Those takedown skills require too much input at some point.
Yeah.
I
kind of enjoyed those. Like, I looked for situations, especially since I was playing stealthily. I looked for situations where I could make that happen. And it was
like the knife
throw
thing
neat.
In particular. Like, I don't know. I got it so rarely that I just, like, I'd have to, like, guess, like, oh, I'm sure the prompt showed up because that guy's within range.
Right.
But I never actually saw the prompt.
No, you're right. You do it so rarely that you're like, fuck, I should have helped.
Now, I would say, like, in Blood Dragon, you're basically doing it all the time if you want to.
Right, if you want to.
Though I did discover, to much my dismay, that a soldier won't follow a stone forever. Like, I was experimenting outside of a base to see, like, how long I get this guy to take it, and, like, eventually he'll go, like, fuck this, and turn around.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, anyone have anything else really to say about Far Cry 3?
I just think it's interesting, and I realize it's different companies, but to compare how different the third game is in the series to, I haven't played 2 yet, but the first Far Cry, because they are different experiences.
No,
completely different from 2. 2 is, like, straight up serious. It's you have to take malaria shots constantly.
Well, from a gameplay, and, like, it's open world. Far Cry 1 is very much linear, and also there were mutant, like, gorilla things, Trigents.
Yeah. Far Cry 1 was Crysis without the suit.
Well, they were made by different companies, right. Though, right? Like,
Far Cry 3, 1 and 2 were both Crytek, wasn't it? Or was 2 also Ubisoft?
I want to say 2 was Ubisoft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Far Cry Vengeance was Crytek.
Now, I know the Wii got some kind of weird version of this called Instincts. How did that...
It was off.
Okay.
It is exactly what you expect it to be.
Okay. I almost want to buy that just to watch the amazing pop-in.
Yes.
Like, YouTube videos of that are just, like, this hilarious tragedy of a game engine falling apart.
God, and the box art for that is so good. Like, it's just the burly white guy just pointing a gun right at you from the box, riding an ATV, mind you. Also, there's a helicopter.
Yeah.
So one of the things I kind of found funny was that you had to kill 2 boars to get enough skin to make 1 bag.
Oh my god, yeah.
And it's like, okay, now what do I do with the rest of the fucking boar? Because that could feed entire village for a whole day.
Even though you're skinning things, you're like, the animation is you taking the heart out and just going, gross.
Right. Ugh, and
this is like right after you put a knife through like 10 people.
Well, if it took like half a day. So
I have no idea how I was being such a silent character when it just had like this bag of flesh just sloshing around on my hip, just trying to sneak around. It's just like.
Oh, also in that bag are some poker chips, cocaine, a lot of leaves.
Just keep it all in the same bag. Some syringes that let me smell animals and people.
Just walk into the Amanaki gun store and, like, put a bloody bag on the counter. Like, just take whatever.
Also, used needles? You're collecting used needles and selling them?
Like,
fuck,
you're selling,
man,
you're
what are you doing?
You're selling guns and arrows and shit. Can I just buy a fucking wallet? Can I not just put my money in this bag?
Everyone has one card, and I'm like, in my head, I started thinking, like, maybe they have, like, a collectible card game going within the loss of ranks.
I was wondering about that, like, because you can find, like, the green poker chip and the black poker chip. It's like, surely, like, this is more stuff you collect, right? You don't just open up, like, this crate from World War II and find a poker chip, and that's it.
That reminds me of the funniest scene in the game. Like, okay, there's this point where you're going to the shanty town, and you sit down, and these people are talking about the white guy that's been killing all of Voss's men, and you're playing poker with them. And, like, for some reason, they don't consider the white guy that's been killing all of Voss's men with the machete to be the white guy in front of them. So they're like, I hear he's a monster. Then Hoyt's going to take care of him. And then Jason, like, plays a card that, like, goes all in and then takes all their chips. And then you do nothing with the chips. Like, so what was the point of that scene?
Right.
It's just Jason being, like, this, like, big dick bastard.
Yeah, basically.
I just love the first tower. We need someone to liberate this tower. And you go up to the top and unlock it and disconnect
there's
a
nobody
thing.
There.
Remember,
why did you climb the tower?
There was a
Vertigo.
Snake. There was a snake at the bottom of the stairs.
That snake took 6 shots to kill.
I ran up and I shanked it with my machete.
I usually, when I see a snake, I'll just start throwing rocks to it so a guard will come get it, because then apparently once snakes bite someone, they get bored and leave.
Nice. Yeah, right. They just slither away. Yeah.
So, in closing with Far Cry 3, hurry up and make Just Cause 3, goddammit.
A fair point.
They I'm pretty sure they're making it. Like, I'm betting they're waiting till Mad Max is more done to reveal that, and then later they'll reveal Just Cause 3.
Hold F to skin animal.
Hold F to break.
Hold F to resume podcast.
I can't find the prompt.
Oh, that was my seek. No, that was my.
I changed guns. Sorry.
We haven't started. Why am I? I'm on fire. There's a.
Oh, you're dead. You're dead.
Hit Q.
Well, let's So we talked about Far Cry 3. And the next pick for Litish Book Club is Dave Owen. So I'm gonna let him say what he picked.
So I think we're gonna do a puzzle game, something lighter. After the massiveness of Far Cry 3, a virus named Tom from Misfits Addict, specifically Tim Keenan, a former DreamWorks animator, a really great puzzle game, harkens back to Pipe Dreamer, the sort of just connect these pipes together to build a circuit or current, you know, get
current the water through. To the drain or whatever.
Yeah, really, really nice, fairly... I'm not going to say simple concept because it gets really difficult, but it's a good 2 or 3 hours of a lot of fun before the frustration starts. Really good cutscenes. I'm anxious to sort of just see how everybody, how the humor hits and what everybody thinks of it. But it should be a nice, light, quick one for us.
Cool. So we'll be playing Tom's Virus. I mean, a virus named Tom.
Thus far, Dave has a 100% ratio with recommending indie games that Tom is in.
I was about to say.
Yeah. So...
Cool. All right. So we're going to talk about the things that we've been playing, and we're going to start off with our guest, Greg Jan. What have you been playing?
Well, like I said, I haven't had that much of a chance. So last night and today, I was playing Far Cry 3, which was that was all I got. For a little bit today, I booted up a game that's on one of the weekly deals, which is Circuits, because it looked reminiscent of some things like Spacechem. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be that complex, so we're not going to get into that much. But otherwise, I beat Transistor over the weekend, which I'm sure you guys have talked to death.
Yeah, what do you think?
Which I really enjoyed it. I have to say, the music was fantastic, but it was almost a little disappointing, because when I first saw when they were first talking about the release, they basically said, don't listen to the soundtrack, it might spoil stuff for the game. I guess I can kind of see where they were coming from, but I was expecting some very major, like, story tie-in songs the way that there was in Bastion later in the game, and there didn't seem to be anything quite like that.
I don't know if there's anything you can really spoil in Transistor too much. That's not to say, like, the story was bad, but just I don't think there's any, like, huge twists, like, in it, like Bastion would have had.
Yeah, I was just kind of a little let down that the best song in the game was the one that they used in the trailer. Not that I blame them for doing that, but, yeah. You know.
That's the marquee theme for that game.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, it's a really cool song, so.
Yeah.
But then, other than that, the only thing that has been getting any extensive time is, since the World Cup started up again, I had opened up Pocket League Story on my phone.
Is that one of the Kairosoft games?
It is totally a Kairosoft game. It's basically okay. Football Manager, but Kairosoft.
I have not played a Kairosoft game to date.
Really? Game Developer Story?
I have not, no. Every time, I must have been playing something else, or I don't remember when it came, but like every time... I see when it seems like another one pops up, and I'm like,
I actually have a Game Developer Story, but every time I start up it, I look and say, this looks really complex, and just turn on Punch Quest.
It's not the simplest of
the Kairosoft ones. Like, I own a depressing number of them, and Game Dev Story is one of the simplest and easiest to approach.
It's also the best one, I think.
I don't know. Dungeon, Village, and Pocket League Story are my favorite two.
I mean, maybe it's like part, like, it's kind of biased for me because I like video games and, like, just being able to, like, make launch a console and make video games for it is a cool idea. Yeah. And I played the hell out of that game for like 12 hours and then I stopped forever because I feel like I got everything I needed to do out of that.
I'm afraid that those games might be too much like any of the Nimblebit games, like Tiny Tower, which are, you buy tickets and you need those tickets if you want to speed things up, otherwise you just wait and it's just a button pressing
like
simulator, but maybe I'm wrong. I should check one out.
I don't know. Anyway, in Pocket League Story, you don't actually play as any of the soccer players. You're the manager who is, hiring people and negotiating sponsors and that sort of stuff. And then what's funny is you'll, have the games that you scheduled and will periodically, be watching them play the game on the screen but not actually controlling anything in it.
Have you seen the I'm forgetting the name of it. It was a Kickstarter a while ago, for you're basically managing like a team of Power Rangers, and you're sort of like the movie producer, or the show producer of it. So you kind of stage these fights, but then you actually like do these turn-based fight scenes with the characters. I'm blanking on the name, but I don't know. It seems like this might fit into some of that same territory, maybe. I don't know. Anyways, that's just a game that I'm looking forward to. Sorry to interrupt you, Jerry.
No worries, but yeah. I unfortunately don't really have a whole lot to talk about because I've been working hard the past couple weeks to get everything in order before my trip. So,
I finally
have some downtime now. So with my employer, every 7 years we get eligible for a 2-month sabbatical.
Nice.
And mine started as of today.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's why I'm here early enough to record.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So
yeah, I'm off until the 9th. So I'm off for like another 2 days. So I took like 2 weeks off, and my wife and I took a nice vacation, and
nice.
It's good. You need it to refresh. I played.
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, because I'm going to be spending time with my family for a week. We might have to talk offline or something like that, see if we can meet up for board games or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I know.
You guys should arrange this entirely on the podcast, including game times.
Let's
and
do
narrows.
It right now. Cool. I played a lot of Mario Golf on my vacation. Well, a little bit of Mario Golf. Anyways. Well, cool. Let's go.
You just started. Do you want to go ahead?
All right. Yeah, I guess I'll go ahead. So I was on vacation away from my computer, which means... when I like opened up Steam, when I finally got back after 2 weeks off, I was like, oh God, the updates, what will the updates be like? But anyway, I played a good chunk of Mario Golf on my vacation. I just worked my way through a lot of the challenges on the little downtime that I had, where I wasn't, hanging out with my wife or with friends or my kid. I've been playing some Tor Bash lately with Dave. And if you don't know what Tor Bash has been around a long time. Like I played this back in, I don't know, 04, 05, 06 or something back in college, when I was in college. And it's a one-on-one fight simulator, except the fights are sort of simultaneous turn-based. And like in between each set of, some sort of predetermined set of frames, like, 10 frames or 20 frames, you have to control all your different joints and muscles. So you can contract your muscles, you can extend, you can hold them, you can release them so they're just kind of loose. So like if you want to bring your leg up to kick, you have to contract your hip and contract your knee, and then the next frame you switch those to extend, so you'll bring it up and then you extend, and it's really fun, and you can like rip dudes' arms off and then attempt to beat them with them, but usually the matches just end up with somebody getting DQ'd as the other person does this incredible jump and spins through the air, landing in a handstand. It's free to play on Steam. The only sort of purchasable things, I think, are all aesthetic, purely aesthetic, which is good, which is the way I like it.
So that's sort of kind of like Quap crossed with Frozen Synapse or something like that?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's cooperative. So yeah, no, totally. We should definitely get some people together and play it, because the way it's set up is sort of you can make a room with, you know, X amount of people, and then, you know, two people fight, and whoever wins goes up against the next person, or, you know, whoever loses gets out and the next person comes in. So, and you can watch each other's fights, and you can just like put on a movie on Netflix, and we can rip each other's arms off or joust, because they're like a billion different mods, all different kind of mods where you start flying at each other at like, you know, 50 miles an hour. So you've got like these three sets of, you know, turns, three sets of frames where you're kind of adjusting yourself into some sort of position before you actually collide, and then it just becomes this clusterfuck of joints, and you're like, wait, is that my arm? Okay, no, I can't contract that elbow, that's not my arm. So it's a lot of fun, it's really good. So I've been playing that. I started playing Strike Vector, which I picked up on the Steam sale, which I think was a Kickstarter. Not that
that was really... that's that it looks really nice, but it's like online multiplayer.
I guess so. There's some sort of, you know, like tutorial or single player campaign. I don't know if it's online or any. I've only been working my way through the tutorial.
I've had a couple of times on the Steam sale. I was like, this looks really amazing, but
yeah,
I don't know that I want to play a game that no
sort
one's
of
playing.
Like, it's like a deathmatch Robotech simulator, maybe, you know, because like your jet plane, your vector as they're called, has Harrier mode, where, you know, where you basically hover, and you got, you know, the 6 degrees of movement or whatever. And then it has jet mode, you know, where you can zoom around. And so it's got some really tight maneuvering, some crazy weapons and upgrades. It's fun. Yeah, it looks really pretty. They did a great job with it for, you know, I bought it for like $5 or something like that. So I'm really not going to play it for that price. It's a solid game. I don't know if anyone else owns it, but I'd be down for some deathmatch.
Do they have a lot of people on the servers that you noticed?
I haven't tried out multiplayer yet.
Oh, so yeah, okay.
I cannot speak to that, but I thought I saw some people active.
So a very similar game, and I'm not sure it's actually from those guys or not, is Strike Suit Zero. It's
the same
basic idea, but it's single player. And I'm not sure if it's from them, but it looks like it's got to be from them. I was trying to research it real quickly, but it's very, very similar. And everything I've seen of Strike Vector just 100% reminded me of Strike Suit Zero, and that's the one that was on Kickstarter.
Some of the people at Penny Arcade were obsessed with those games for a long time, and I'm pretty sure they were actually released right at the same time.
Oh, weird.
And it was like Strike Suit Infinity, which I think is like a more action mech-style game.
Strike Suit Infinity are both by the same company.
I remember hearing some weird things about Strike Suit Zero. Like, it came out, like, and then, I don't know, maybe it was bad, I don't remember, I don't know. But I'll have to look.
It's a very simulator style. Okay, no, that's not fair. It's nothing like a simulator, but it's way more simulator than I want. Like, I figured it was going to be like Zone of the Enders, and not even kind of.
Yeah.
It feels like something you need a joystick for?
No. Well, maybe. No.
Well, I mean, you could.
I tried to play it with a controller, and it did not work at all.
I've been doing fine with the mouse and keyboard. And the last thing I've been playing is Risk of Rain. I finally started playing that, you know, a year late or whatever.
I should try that too. I've had a rookie year,
and it's good. It's fun. I wish I had like faster movement. I mean, I know the game is made that way, at least for the initial character that you get. But that's been a lot of fun, kind of figuring out the different characters. Although I only have one character, powers, stuff like that. Although my one issue with it, and Dave will attest to this, and maybe other people have had different experiences, but why is it so fucking difficult to get a multiplayer game of this going, and it's 2014?
Mm-hmm. Is it like Hamachi shit or what?
Yeah, like I think we're gonna need to rely on Hamachi to get it to work. But like, yeah, you know, cause... I had to go in, you know, I had to open some ports, and I'm like, why do I have to fucking deal with this stuff in 2014?
Well, indie game, like, somebody should make a service that like indie games can license that thing, and it will like it's just free online gaming for them, and then they get a slice of the sales.
I mean, they do.
It's called Steamworks.
Oh, well,
right. Steamworks has multiplayer. It's free. It has multiplayer lobbies. It's got everything you need.
And they should do that more often.
You can invite people through Steam for Torbash, but I guess Risk of Rain was published by Chucklefish, which also published Starbound, which has a similar online setup. Like, you need an IP address to connect. But for some reason, it was just Dave and I just could not get Risk of Rain working. So,
man, they're just hardcore. You need to open some ports and go into a chat lobby and then open up your QuakeNet.client.
I probably need to do some IRC at some point.
I'm going to connect a terminal session to
your IP address.
If you just don't do this, you don't want it hard enough. Sorry, kid.
And I'm pretty sure it actually does require IP addresses, doesn't it?
Yeah, you got to know somebody's IP.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to mention is I've been playing my usual amount of Counter-Strike, you know, trying to get that Counter-Strike money and sell a fancy skin. But they just released their new, what they call Operations, which are their sort of map packs and updates. So it's like $5, I think. And you get, I think you can actually play all the maps for free regularly, but basically it lets you contribute money to the map makers, because they're usually community maps, which I'm a big fan of. So I bought it, and it's good. There's some really nice new maps, some really interesting things that they've done to kind of expand on the Counter-Strike gameplay, or sort of the surrounding things that happen when you go into a map and stuff like that. And it has some extra toppings, like it'll give you sort of mission goals, like, you know, win a match on Mirage, and you can you'll unlock a skin for a gun, because again, all the items and stuff that you can buy in Counter-Strike goes all aesthetic, which, like I've said before, I'm always great with that. I think that's such a great way to go. If people want to look fancy, they can look fancy. If people want to buy a thing I found for me for $40, I am more than happy to sell it to them.
Or you just get the crate and just sell the crate for like half the price of you bought the map pack for.
When those operations first drop, the crates from those operations usually go for like $4 to $5 a pop. And then they drop off. A crazy Steam marketplace, man. So anyways, we can move on to Mark.
So I picked up Wolfenstein: The New Order over the Steam sale. Started playing it over the 4th of July.
Spent, my brother's like, been playing that too.
Yeah. I spent like most of Friday and Saturday playing it. It's a good game so far. I don't really want to pass judgment until I I'll finish it basically. But you know, I walked into this wanting something along the lines of like a Metro or like the first Bioshock or Singularity, where, you know, it's a well constructed game, even if this is linear as fuck, and this is extremely linear, but it's a well made game. It does some interesting stuff. It's like it will try to fool you into thinking you're in like a stealth mission, but you're not in a stealth mission. You're actually just in a mission where all you have is a knife, and the only way you can kill somebody is to stab them repeatedly in the face. And basically, your only hope is to rush up to that guy as soon as you can and just start stabbing him, because you spawn like directly in front of his face, and there's no stealth involved whatsoever. So that's cool. It's a very, I hate to use this term, but I don't know a better term for it, very visceral. In that regard, very brutal, very direct video game. Just lots of blood, lots of just shooting dudes in the face. So far, very good. It's the writing is weird, and like I think Spec Ops: The Line may have hurt gaming in the long run, because I can't tell if it's just a stupid video game with stupid writing, or if it's trying to do a Spec Ops: The Line thing and it's trying to do something more subtle in like the stupid shit it does, because some of the really dumb things it does are so glaring that you think would be gotten rid of by this point in time. I can't tell if like they're trying to be ironic or if they're just dumb.
Well, the main character's name is BJ Blazkowicz, so yeah. I assume.
Yeah, but I mean, they're giving him a lot more character in this game, because you know, in the previous games is just like a face like taking damage, but you know, in this one, like, he starts off in like a basically a dirty the Dirty Dozen mission. Well, no, like, what's a World War II movie that I can base it off of? Maybe A Bridge Too Far. Anyway, like, a mission goes bad, basically, and something happens, and he wakes up 14 years later, and the world has just completely gone to shit, and the Nazis have taken over, and you can hear, like, and a lot of the game is, like, his internal monologue, as, like, he just keeps killing people, and he sees how shit the world has gone to. So it's just weird. It's like, this is a deep character, and it's like in the B.J. Blazkowicz bottle. You're thinking, what are they going for here? I like what they're going for here, but it just seems weird that they're doing it with Wolfenstein. Also, like, the dude
I
looks
think
like
that that's kind of what they need to do with those sorts of games, yeah, in order to make those things be taken seriously anymore.
Well, I don't know that you like it makes a whole lot of, like, you can't have a lighthearted game about the Holocaust. It's just, you gotta at least make some attempt to show the levity of that thing.
Yeah, you can't be, like, completely serious all the time. And, you know, it, I don't know, the problem with the game like this is, like, the state of video game writing is where you can't trust the writer to do a good job of it. It's the same issue we had with Far Cry 3. It's like, you want him to get to the next level. You want, okay, go ahead and, like, go on with, take the ball and run with it. And then they do something to horribly fuck it up. Spec Up the Line is basically the only game I can think of that really didn't do this to a shocking degree. The Last of Us was okay with that. Aside from stuff like Gone Home, of course. I mean, you're talking about, like, big budget games where the writing isn't usually great.
See, I will not blame Far Cry 3 on the writers. I don't think anybody wanted to make that game. I don't think any writers wanted to make that game. I think that Far Cry 3's issue was they made the game they think people want it.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, people were like, oh, well, most of the gaming audience that's going to buy this game is going to be Jason Brody.
Sure. And they just added confidence.
Focus tested to hell.
Yeah, and that's what Ubisoft does. Like, we talked about this before with Assassin's Creed. When that game was first pitched, it was a female assassin in revolutionary France. And now it's like, it's some guy who looks the same in, like, three different outfits.
So that's kind of the issue. It's like, I can't really trust the vision of the creators. I've only played, like, the first, like, handful of missions. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's kind of a throwback. It's like, you go through, like, this one area, and this area is just completely self-contained, not connected with anything else. You go do the missions in this area. It's not even missions. It's just, like, going from, like, one room, like, one area to the next, to the next, to the next. You'll unlock one area. And then, like, once you're done with that, you're just done. And then there's a cutscene, and then the next area begins. And they're just, like, first, like, there's, like, a checkpoint, and you gotta get a truck through a checkpoint, and then a cutscene, like, on a train. And you're thinking, oh, I'm going to find the train. No, the train has nothing to do with anything. And then now it's a prison break-in. It's kind of a weird throwback in that way, and it's just super linear, which I don't think is a bad thing, because basically super linear just means that they have to have good level design.
Right.
Did you play any of Rage?
I did not play Rage. I should have. It's like $5.
Yeah, it's definitely a $5. It's definitely worth it for $5, but it's also very linear, and I'm wondering if it's one of those things that's a limitation of the engine, or if it's just the way they design games.
Well, I think it's probably what those guys know how to do.
Yeah.
The New Order is made by the Riddick team, isn't it? Or the people who used to make Riddick?
Yeah, the old Starbreeze team.
Yeah.
And Riddick, I think, had... I can't remember how Riddick did it. If it just had, like, missions that were, like, self-contained, or it had, like, a hub world. I think it had a hub world.
In fairness, I don't think every FPS needs to be open.
No, they don't.
Like, I actually kind of prefer to, like, at least have the switch up where it's something more... They tend to be more story-driven when they're not open world.
Yeah, and when they're open world, there's going to be a lot of backtracking, which is one of the huge problems with BioShock Infinite, was that you just, like, the place was so open and you were just, like, going back to collect items to go back and collect secrets and to something else. And in order to hide...
There was really backtracking in two parts of that game, I'd say.
There was a lot more than that. And especially, like, toward the middle part in Fink's Town, that was just nothing but backtracking. But they had to cheat in that game by, like, when you leave an area and then you come back to, like, do the thing that you weren't able to do the first time, they just refill it full of enemies again. So it's like, I just murdered every single living thing here, and it's 3 seconds later, and they're back. That's dumb. You don't have to worry about that when you got a, when you have a game like The New Order. So,
All right. So what's the better Nazi property, the new Wolfenstein game or Iron Sky?
Hadn't seen Iron Sky.
You should check it out. Iron Sky is so good.
It's pretty hilarious.
It's so good.
So what you're saying is you did not see it?
I did not see.
You beautiful son of a bitch.
And aside from that, just playing a bunch of Hearthstone, getting my ass handed to... Oh, that was the Angelina Jolie stupid thing, wasn't the movie?
What?
No. Iron Sky is Nazis from the Moon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was I thinking?
It was a Swedish film?
You were thinking of Sky Captain.
I was thinking of Sky Captain. You're exactly right.
World of Tomorrow.
Yeah. I was. But no, I've been playing
like
a lot.
A big budget Swedish or some European movie that was about like back in the World War, the Nazis sent some people to the dark side of the moon, and
it's
then
got that guy.
They come back Sarah Palin is the president of the United States, and it's just amazing.
It's like
36%.
Yeah, it's good.
So they just come back and, you know, helplessly fall to Earth because they were just on the other side of the moon.
No.
They have special moon technology.
They have like a weapons development program on the moon.
Yeah. Yes. And of course like a giant space zeppelin.
Yes. Okay. Just watch the trailer after we finish this podcast and you will learn everything you need to know about this movie.
Oh, and they try to turn a black guy into a white guy.
Yes. Because they want to help him because being white is perfect.
Oh, I knew that. Ken says Far Cry
4. Oh, says Far Cry 3. Shit.
Yeah, I was about
shit.
Full circle.
But playing Hearthstone, getting my ass handed to me on the ladder by fucking aggro decks. Nice. Fucking solitaire.
I don't know what that means.
Don't explain it.
Just, they don't interact with your cards. They just hit your face constantly and you can't do anything. I hate it.
Well, I don't play control.
Yeah, I'm one of those, Mark. I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
Hey, I'm just trying to get my rank up. That's all. Like, literally, I made a tweet about it a couple months ago. I was like, I think I'm just going to have to play a balls out aggro deck in Hearthstone, and I feel so shitty about it because I know how I'm going to make the people I beat feel.
That's just the way the cards work right now. Nothing can be done until next Rammus is released. Don't feel bad about it.
Yeah. God, man. The last two competitive matches of Counter-Strike GO I've played have come down to. Like literally the last round calling it, and I've lost both. My teams have lost both. It's been devastating.
So
anyways, I just had to mention that.
I finished Shovel Knight.
Oh, I want that. Someone buy that for me, as well as Divinity Original Sin.
So thanks. I think Shovel Knight's really, really, really good, except every single level has this one part. Like, it's a different part for every level, but it's like, this level would be so much better if this one part was not in it. It's almost always between the last two checkpoints.
Yeah.
Like,
what's it do?
Like, I mean, it's different for every level, but like, for Propeller Knight's level, it's a section where, like, a bunch of very tricky jumps and wind moving and spikes everywhere.
Oh, it becomes Ninja Gaiden for a second.
Yeah, and Tinker Knight's level has this part where you're doing a bunch of tricky jumps and then things are coming from the ceiling that you can't entirely see. It's never, like, super bullshit, but it's always like, this level would be so much better if just this part wasn't in it.
Yeah. This little bit of frustration wasn't involved.
Like, my moment for that was the platforms that move up and down based on how much weight's on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to this one long platform where you have to kill, I guess it's a frog. The green thing that hops, I guess it's a frog.
Yeah.
And so once you kill that, you have to make sure you kill that immediately, because if you scroll to the right, something spawns on the platform, which pushes it down. It's like, that's such bullshit. Either it was there or it wasn't.
I don't know. I really like the game. It's like, I was really feared the final part because people were like, oh god, there's a boss rush. I'm never going to finish this game. It's like, okay, I've played Mega Man games. This shouldn't be too bad. And it's not. It's like the most generous boss rush I've ever seen because they completely kill you between every boss.
Oh, wow. That's not even a boss rush. That's
yeah. That's it's like, sad. Well, that was super easy. I'm actually kind of disappointed. But overall, like, I appreciate what the game was trying to do. I'm looking forward to, because they still need to finish it. There's more DLC coming that shouldn't be paid, at least for backers. So, we'll see. I'm looking forward to playing as King Knight. And that's pretty much it, because they didn't choose the better knights for any of that. I finished Murdered Soul Suspect. And I don't like the twist in that story at all.
Wait, so hold on real quick. So judging from the name Shovel Knight and his weapon being a shovel, does that mean King Knight uses, like, he just wields the king?
He just wants to be a king.
Oh, he wants to be. So he doesn't
swing around a person with a crown.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
No, the other knights aren't like that. Like, there's Spectre Knight, who is just a spectre.
Okay.
And gotcha. Plague Knight, you know, he's an alchemist.
Got it.
Cool. But yeah. So, if like Airtight Games shut down this past week, I think. And they're the Dark Void murdered people. And they, like, I saw a lot of people blaming, like, well, people didn't buy Murdered, so what do you think is going to happen? And I don't think that game should have been $60 at all.
So what is this? Because you're, like, basically the only person that I've heard talk about this at all.
It's basically just a fairly high budget, like, ish, but not like David Cage high budget, but like a tier below that. Graphic adventure.
Okay.
That is about a detective that was killed, and he's trying to solve his own murder before he can, like, move on. So the problem with that game is it meanders a lot, and then at some point it's a full train for the last 10 minutes of exposition dump where you solve the murder, and then a whole bunch of revelations get thrown out, and then the game just ends. And it's like, that is not, like, I've played other mystery games. Like, let's directly compare this game to Ghost Trick. Because Ghost Trick is basically the same idea.
I was about to say, Ghost Trick
is freaking amazing.
Ghost Trick is freaking amazing.
Yeah, like, the setup sounds exactly the same.
But, like, the thing is, with Ghost Trick, it is a slow build of that story. With Murdered, you're finding out things that lead you to a red herring for most of the game. And then once you get to that red herring, it's like, oh, well, he's dead.
And, okay, like, then everything you did through this entire game has mattered for jack shit.
I mean, it leads you essentially to the killer, but it's a super dumb twist. And what I was praying and hoping that they would not go supernatural with that game. Well, and that's what they do. I mean, like, with the actual resolution of the killer.
Okay.
And essentially they do, and, like, not to spoil too much, but it was disappointing, because I think it would have been way cooler if you were just a ghost solving real life mysteries.
Or just, like, helping, you know, out people.
Like, if you were taking out an actual serial killer, and the only way you could do that was with, like, ghost powers or whatever, then that's fine. Like, that's sort of schlocky, but it's way better than the actual thing they did. And maybe it would have been better if, like, they wrote it well, but in actual execution, it's not good. But I let's play that game, and I think that video goes up in, like, 3 hours. So if you want to see the ending of Ghost Trick,
That's the last one. Yeah, I got behind on it, so I'm trying to catch up. So that's the last one going up. Okay.
Yeah. I think after this, I'm going to probably do Marlo Briggs, because that seems interesting. Oh,
I was so close to picking that for Illiterates Book Club. I was so close.
It looks really cool.
It looks super dumb.
I've seen people say, like, it's better than God of War, but that's not a super high bar, so we'll see.
We shall. Well, for me, it's nothing. It took me 10 hours to realize that my XCOM save from a year ago was beyond help, and I slowly petered out in a game of XCOM over the course of a week, and now I'm going to finally purchase Enemy Within and start over. But that's pretty much all I played besides Far Cry, so I'm pretty simple this week.
Yeah, we have the next ABC, so hopefully we can actually get that one done in 2 weeks, Brian.
What? Why is it? Oh, right, I went on vacation. It's not my fault I went on vacation.
It kind of is.
Not my fault you picked Far Cry 3 just before I was going to go to vacation.
That is probably not your fault.
It's the Founding Father's fault.
Damn the Imran.
For 4th of July, I played Freedom Force. Or Freedom Fighter, sorry.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, that's such a good game. I love that game.
I love that every mission ends with you having to raise the flag. That is the best idea for America game.
Yeah. What's the same thing in Broforce?
Yeah, that's true. But this one, like, you actually have to, like, hold E to...
Hold E to raise flag.
To America.
Hold E to America.
and I streamed some Dead Rising 3 for people, and I still don't like that game a whole lot. But yeah, video games.
Cool. We play them. I'll see y'all playing Tor Bash tonight, right?
I'll download Tor Bash. We'll see what happens.
Good.
Sure.
Good. All right. Good night, everybody.
Video games.
See you guys.
Night.
Hold F to end podcast. It's July 7th. What? Okay. It's July 7th, 2014, and this is episode 86 of Free to Play, NutriBeer.com's Free to Play podcast. You're free to listen to this one. My name is Brian Belita, and tonight I have the pleasure of introducing Mark Bradshaw.
So I
took a week off. I forgot numbers.
And letters.
And words.
Mark Bradshaw will be replaced by a tone that will come in and out intermittently.